Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. It's the Blind Handyman Show.
You're kidding.
Hello there, neighbors, and welcome to show number 172. This is September 26, 2006, and we've got an hour to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining. And, of course, this is all designed with the blind in mind.
Yeah.
That's right.
Our host for the show, ladies and gentlemen, as always, Don Shaw.
Thomas, how are you doing on this fine, fine fall day?
I'll tell you what, if it gets any better than it's been yesterday and today,
oh, man.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Don Patterson.
Well, it's our chance to get even with the utility companies, but instead they're going up anyway.
You know? That figures.
I'm certain they figured out some kind of crisis. Something happened in California that's going to affect my electric bill in Texas. But anyway, I'm glad to be here.
And my name's Tom Houston, but here he is, folks, the creator and the producer of the Blind Handyman Show. Ladies and gentlemen, Phil Parr.
Howdy. It was 51. Yeah, about that, 51 when I got up the second time. I got up about 3 this morning and made coffee and checked my email.
51.
And I laid back down in my chair. When I got up at 6, it was 51 degrees.
Nice.
Man, isn't that fine?
It just don't get no better.
Low humidity. Great.
Low humidity. The dogs. Sarah's got something in her, wrong with one of her paws. You'll see in just a minute.
Ooh.
She's kind of limping a little bit. Luann, of course, is worried wanting to call the vet.
I bet Frankie's happy about that because she's always biting Frankie on the hind leg. Frankie's.
Frankie.
I'm glad really, that she's lost a little bit of speed.
The dogs are frisky. And Ozzie.
They are.
They love this weather.
They love this cool weather, don't they? Huh?
Yeah.
Well, it may get hot again, but it won't. It will never get back up to that 100 degrees that we went through that 11 days when we had that.
I think our 90s are probably gone. You think we'll have 90s again?
No.
Not in September. Yeah,
not
I
in
think
September.
The 90s. Maybe good 80s.
But now,
high 80s.
Think about it. Fall came early this year because this year, today, this would have been the Monday after Rita came through.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
When you were out, had had the wreck.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And Mary was in the hospital.
Yep.
And you were at Kathy's trying to figure out what to do.
Yep.
We went and spent the night at Live Oak at John Henry's, and sure enough, we came back, Luann opened the door and put the dogs in the house, and the dishwasher was running. We had power.
The electricity was back.
But, brother, it was hot that Monday.
Oh, God, it was hot.
Mm.
So that was 1 year ago today, guys.
In other words, so it was this late in September when Rita came through.
That Rita came through, and it was, my God, it was hot.
It was.
Well, that'll show you how the memory goes. I was thinking that y'all had your accident at Thanksgiving.
No, it was September the 23rd.
And y'all were going, for some reason, to Kathy's?
We were going to Kathy's because we thought it was going to flood because of the damned old hurricane.
Okay, right. In other words, y'all were evacuating because of the... Okay, see, and I associated that with Thanksgiving.
Well, because you had already had that little flood one time.
Yep.
That little wet carpet that you'd had one time.
Like 20-something inches of rain, which just didn't, of course, didn't happen.
No,
we had, 50-mile-an-hour winds?
Yeah.
Just here locally and everything. I know in my mobile home, I felt them. But now, I heard a news story this morning where a tornado touched down somewhere in Missouri, I think it was.
Yeah.
And they were talking like 200-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah.
And I remember the 50-mile-an-hour winds, and I guarantee you, 200-mile-an-hour winds. I'm leaving that mobile home.
Yeah, you want to be in a mobile home.
I guarantee you.
I'm getting out of there.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do that.
That might be the official voice, but I'll guarantee you out in Hudson, at my house, we had higher than 50.
I think
we had close to 75.
So I think we did, too.
We had some
75.
Boy,
90,
when you start seeing the rain blowing horizontally, I mean, you got more than 50.
But I remember I was chiding Luann because she was cowering in the booth in here. The booth is the middle room in this building, and she was in there with her flashlight reading her little book laying on the floor, you know. And hell, John was just, my brother-in-law was out walking around. He parked over at the baseball field, walked over here because there was a tree across my driveway. He was just out walking around, just idiot, you know.
What a deal.
But that was a year ago. I mean, yesterday, that was Callie's birthday is the 23rd. That was a Friday. So the thing came through on the 24th, which was a Saturday.
That's right.
The 25th, this is the 26th. This would have been the Monday after. And you had power, Pat.
I did, but did I have that back
then? You had power.
No, I lost power finally.
But not for very long.
Not for very long.
Not for very long, but we had one night without power. So the storm hit Saturday.
Yeah.
It was Saturday. That day was Saturday.
Yeah.
We were without power till late Sunday.
Yeah.
Afternoon, because I had a house full of company, and I couldn't figure out why they would have been better off staying at home.
They had power at home.
Yeah, and then yet they drove to my house to bitch about the fact, if I could say that, I didn't have any power.
That's right.
We didn't have power till Tuesday morning, and Shaw didn't have power till Wednesday night.
That's right.
Remember, we went to the club Wednesday night and brought you home some dinner, and then took you home, because you had power.
Because the power finally came up.
You were without long. How long, Houston?
I think about 4 days, if I remember right.
Yeah, Sarah, Emily's daughter, lives right here in Brook Hollow, and they were without power till the following Friday. They had a little loop street. They live on a little street, and they had a tree down, and nobody came to... I mean, all their neighbors had power, but it was about four houses without power.
These are the great memories of 2004. What are we doing? What is this deal?
I don't know.
Anyway, that's the way it was a year ago. Today. But it was real hot then, and it ain't hot now, and it's nice, and it's 80.
Oh, man.
Was it about 80 outside, you
know? Yeah.
But, you know, they in Houston, you always hear about the Katrina refugees. I wonder if any Rita refugees went to Louisiana and got revenge.
I don't know.
They had the New Orleans Superdome on Monday Night Football last night.
Did they win? Did the Saints win that?
They won the game, and the Superdome just looks fantastic.
Yeah, they fixed it up.
Beautiful.
And go two blocks away in one of those neighborhoods, and it's still a shambles. Isn't that? That's a crime. That ought to be a crime.
They spent more money on reconditioning that thing, I think, than they spent when they built the doggone thing.
You know it was in rough shape.
Is that right?
It had to be in bad shape. Yes, sir, Bob.
All right, Tommy, we'll do some email.
Well, okay, we were mentioning the animals a little bit earlier, and undoubtedly some people on the list have had a little problem with animals that have been either dropped off or show up at their home, and they don't want them there.
That'll happen.
So this was a little bit different. I mean, there were all kinds of little things on there on how to get rid of an animal, unwanted animal, and everything other than shooting them, you know. But this was a little bit different, so I thought I'd print it and read it to you. The super soaker water guns throw a lot of water a goodly distance.
They do.
And while they will hit you, they will be a hit with a grandchild or your children. The animals don't appreciate being hit with a stream of water. No, they don't. Some of these toys will hold up to a gallon of water. They require pumping quite a bit to build up the pressure in the air tank. And if you happen to have a water hose hooked up and ready, that also becomes an effective way to discourage a dog or cat which has taken a liking to your property. And this came from Clifford Wilson.
Clifford Wilson.
And I would agree with that.
Yeah, it sounds like
a plan. We'll let Clifford give a talk on that in Houston.
Yeah.
Living out in the country like I do, I mean, we have right now, living at my mobile home in Burke, Texas, four dogs.
You've got another one since we talked?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
I have a new cat.
Man.
Named Bob with a bob tail, and I've been feeding him.
You call him Bob Cat?
When I first saw him, he had a little bob tail. I said, your name's Bob. So I've been feeding him, and he loves it there. I couldn't run him off now. But there's a little bitty, I don't know that it's a Chihuahua, Manchester, but it's a smaller breed dog.
But you've had it a while.
And no. This one just showed up last week.
Oh,
wow.
And you talk about a gutsy little fella, but, I mean, he's in amongst the giants there. He's gutsy, I'll tell you.
He gets his share of food.
And I think my wife's going to make me keep him. That's the bad thing. She's going to say keep him because her mother's there, and her mother's likes little dogs and all that kind of stuff. So I guess we will.
There ain't much you can do when Mama says
When Mama says keep the dog, we keep the dog.
Well,
Mama,
you know.
What?
I was just going to comment about the water hose and stuff. I mean, that works. It's like a temporary measure, and of course you can't. Living rurally like we do, you can't stop people from dumping things off. But obviously, the biggest thing that retards stray animals is a fence. I mean, they come for food. That's what they want is food. And when they can't get, they move on. When we first moved there, before we got the fence around the place. We had, I mean, one stray after another, and we would take them. Also, we have no animal control out in the rural area, so we have to dispose of them ourselves as far as picking them up and taking them literally to the shelter. And but it seems like this last year we haven't had as many, and we've had our fence, so...
How many cats were living there when you moved there? When you moved out over to your daughter's, how many cats were living there, Tom? 20?
Oh, my God. Maybe 30. I mean,
that's sad.
Way too many cats.
Yeah, because they inbreed and everything else.
They do indeed. And
you gradually.
They run around there bumping into trees. They're so dumb, you know, after they inbreed and all like that. So we loaded them up and started carrying them off. And we carried them to the pound downtown there. And finally got it down to size. Now it's beginning a build-up again.
Cat build-up.
A cat build-up.
Now, see, that computer fan doesn't sound so loud now, does it?
What?
With the air conditioner on, the computer
what
fan.
What did you say?
Computer fan doesn't sound quite. All right, go ahead, Tommy.
Okay, here's the deal I thought was real interesting and would be interesting to the audience. It's a talking tool.
Okay.
SpeakFast is a voice output module. It's designed for use with a torque wrench by individuals who are blind or have low vision. Now, this module... provides access to the Fast Technologies Sensor System 1000 Torque Wrench by capturing data from the wrench and converting it to equivalent speech output. The module is used in conjunction with a modified Fast Technologies Series 1000 Torque Meter and sensor to provide speech output of torque readings.
Where do you get this?
So I got this off the list. The two units are connected, and they're mated into one portable unit that provides speech output through a headphone interface or amplified speakers. The system provides over 20 voice responses. It is powered by a 9-volt alkaline battery. And if you're interested, if you're one of these guys that's going to work on cars or
so you
whatever,
tell,
you use a torque wrench.
You could tell what pressure you had with your torque wrench.
Exactly.
Boy, that'd be, if you did stuff like that, that'd be pretty cool, Sean.
That would be the thing to have, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it? Yeah.
Man. So, I wonder where, how pricey.
Where you get that?
I didn't see the price, but...
you can bet they want 10 prices for it.
You can order it from CompuSalt Limited.
Spell that.
CompuSalt is CompuSult Limited.
CompuSalt Limited.
And it's located at 40 Bannister Street. In Mount Pearl, Newfoundland, in Labrador, Canada.
Oh, okay.
That toll-free number, ladies and gentlemen, is 888-388-8180. Or you can just go online at www.hear-it.com.
Okay. Now, that'd be an interesting company. I need you to email me that, because that would be an interesting company to call an interview. So they're going to make things... They're obviously hear it. They're going to make stuff for blind people to hear.
And, you know, it's real strange to me. A torque wrench would be the least likely tool of several that I can think of that somebody might use. I wonder if they've applied their speech technology to something else.
Well, like what else?
Well, i.e. levels or rulers or, I mean, in other words, if they're into that.
If it could work with several.
Well, with a name like hearit.com, surely to God they have.
Sounds like,
they're going to do some other.
I'm saying that would be a neat.
They're probably going to do some other stuff.
It'd be a good website to know about if you were blind.
But if you were torquing the head on any sort of an engine, you'd have no idea where you were. Unless you had one of these.
Yeah, if you did mechanic and type work, it would be a thing to have.
Sure it would be. Mm-hmm. If you're in, and where somebody suggested Sunday morning, maybe it was your friend Mike Underhill?
Yeah.
Shaw? Is he into cars?
I'm not sure.
He said something Sunday morning, seems like about starting a show for blind people that worked on automobiles. And I told him I'd talk to him about it.
Yeah,
that might be a thing to do, you know.
And there's some folks, you know, we have several people now on the blind handyman list that do mechanic type projects.
So now let's see. It's
3:15 p.m.
Now, Theron's going to call us, right?
Yeah.
So I guess we'll just talk till he does.
He's going to call us at the break, in fact.
All right. Well,
here's a guy, I mean a girl, I should say. She says, I'm thinking about getting one of those all-in-one washing machines. Now, this is not the one that has a washer on the bottom and a dryer on the top, but one of those that does both wash and dry. Now, the person does not have to take out the clothes. The machine will wash and dry it all. Anyway, has or does anyone on this list have one? I would like to know how good they are, because I do not have room in my kitchen for the other kind that I just mentioned. Thanks so much, Angel. I had never heard of it.
But you Googled it.
I did, and they do exist.
And what is this unit called, Houston?
Don't get me to lying.
Oh, I'm
not sure. There was one guy that called it Wife Tech, but I think he was kidding.
Hey,
I think he was joking. So, but I do know that Dale Levins also Googled it, and he said they were very expensive. So I Googled it, and yeah, they run up $1,200, $1,300, depending on which one you get.
But it will wash the clothes and then dry them.
Yes. I'm trying to figure out how come this person may not have room for the washer and dryer stacked. I mean, if she's got room, if it's going to set a footprint of whatever, 24 by 24.
Why wouldn't this other work?
Why wouldn't the dryer on top?
Kind of like a high, big building.
Unless she's using it height, like, I've seen some of these pull-away dishwashers, separate, that you pull over to the sink, and they have a countertop that you can use as a... kind of a utility table until you want to wash dishes. So if a height would bother her, to me, the difference in price for the
stack washer dryer.
That's a big difference.
$1,800 would...
My goodness gracious.
That would buy a lot of Tide.
I think the stackables are $600 or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, big difference.
I didn't know they existed, but they do.
Yeah, I think that's amazing technology.
Everybody on the list were kidding about it.
Did you see the one? Did you post the one where the guy said, it's a stack of clothespins, you hang them out till it rains, and then you wait till a nice dry, and it dries them up.
There were several little brilliant little comments.
I think
everybody
thought it was a joke at first.
Yeah, if it can do all that, can it bring me a beer, was a comment or two.
I heard that one.
It was just, it could do everything.
Anyway, we've got another deal here. There was a couple of takes on, like, burning wood in your fireplace.
Let's look at that.
This guy said, just had one of those brain vibrations as I was thinking of what Bryce said, not being able to have a fireplace that burns wood. Well, now, thinking of all the forest fires building around the country, it makes total sense. Let's face it. Most of us on the list are blind. And how would you know if a burning ember floated off into the sky to some nearby brush? I think of another blind friend in Wyoming who had smoke from any one of three forest fires filling her lungs. For years, as a blind person, I operated my own wood stove. But now that I think of it, I had no clue what was going out of the chimney at any given time. Yes, every 2 years, we hired a chimney sweep to professionally clean the main chimney out. But also, we do not live in an area that's prone to brush and forest fires. And, of course, that was Lee that wrote that. Then I had a completely different take on it. And he says, Lee, don't kid yourself. Most sighted people wouldn't have the slightest idea what goes out the chimney and wouldn't know what to do about it if they did.
That's true.
I say it's true, too.
That was going to be my comment.
I doubt most wildfires are started by embers from proper chimneys, most likely from lightning, cigarette butts, or campfires left unattended or not properly put out. I'd bet a blind camper could probably put out a campfire as well as anybody, and this came from Tom.
Let's see, I moved in that house in Burke before I left my first wife, which was 74. God.
It's been a while ago, hasn't it?
No, it's just about...
You should have left her earlier.
Should have moved along earlier.
That's right.
I've been burning wood in the wood fireplace ever year since then. I've had a house that's had a fireplace. I do not want a house without a fireplace. And I've never... I have melted a little place on a There's a rug in front of my fireplace, but it will melt before it will burn. I mean, it's one of those
fireplace rugs.
It's a plastic kind of a rug, and my floor is tile. Actually, it's wood. It's that fake wood. But, man, you'd have to... You'd have to work at that to make that happen. I've had them logs roll out and just ran and got a pair of oven mitts and reached down and put the damn log back in the fireplace.
Yeah.
Well, I think threw the oven mitts away.
Yeah, and they're talking about what comes out the chimney, but if it's a properly maintained chimney,
it's got a top on
screen.
That's right.
That would start a fire. It's going to come out of it.
It's got a top on
A spark arrestor.
You know, another thing that, you know, we hear about these massive fires and anymore in the news that they try to even find out who started them, you know, and obviously there's been some careless fires or started on purpose. But if you're a historian, and historian, I think is the way you say it, forest fires are a natural event to rejuvenate the woods.
Yeah, to get rid of all that stuff that's on the ground.
And so if we don't like them, I mean, mankind, you know, we've encroached on everything else, and forest fires, actually, we're encroaching on the forest where fires were a natural phenomenon. But a good, safe chimney with a chimney cap with a screen wire, and that you need to check once in a while, because if you get too hot a fire, you can damage the screen. I know a guy. That burnt some wood that he shouldn't have in a fireplace, and I damaged the screen on my chimney cap, and thus I had to replace it.
Now they don't burn pine. They don't want you burning pine. You're supposed to burn hardwood, but as long as you burn hardwood and have it cleaned every couple of years, you're all right.
Well, actually, this was like parts of a hollow core door that I saw up, and I want you to know that it sounded like a rocket ship. I bet it roared. This was on Allendale, and I thought my house was literally going to take off and go up.
Wow.
It sounded like a volcano.
Man.
All right, it's time for the break, and that Farron boy hadn't called us yet. So I guess we'll take it and wait for him and see if he calls. And do more of the little blind handyman. David Farron is going to tell us about putting in an air conditioner and two or three other little things that he's done, and about a Jaws list that he's got going. So if you're a Jaws user, or even if you're not, stay with us. We're the Blind Handyman, Don Patterson, Don Shaw, and Tom Houston. I'm Phil Parr. Back in just a minute.
You might have gathered we have a live audience today.
We have folks from all over the nation, a lot of folks from up in northeast Pennsylvania.
Good morning again. I'm Bob Bartlett.
That was November 2004. Hi, this is Phil Parr, and this is November 2006. We're going to do it again. We're going to gather at the Sheraton Northeast in Houston, Texas, and have a big party. Opening ceremony Saturday morning. Cooking in the Dark with Dale Campbell and Cheryl coming Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, lots of dancing and great live music. We'll record a live Blind Handyman show Sunday morning, a live Blind Like Me show Sunday afternoon, and Sunday night more dancing and great live music. If all this sounds like fun to you, why don't you email me and I'll send you the details. My email address is phil@philparr.net. That's phil@philparr.net. We'll see you this November in Houston. I didn't realize that David was listening. Actually, I turned the speaker down. What have I not done? Oh, that's Pat's earphones. I fixed it. I turned his mic down.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't actually realize that you were listening on FTP. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm
live.
Tuned in there.
And so you knew when the break was.
Yes, Don told me to wait for the break, so...
That's right. Oh, might have been a long wait, huh?
I figured we'd just talk till you called, and we never did...
I heard you saying that, and I thought, well...
We'll just wait and see what
Nothing
happens.
Nothing like FTP radio.
How are you, son? What's happening?
I'm doing good.
You about ready for Houston, Texas?
Well, we got the tickets.
You got tickets?
All right.
And you're going through... Where did you say you were going through?
Well, we're flying up Palmer Airport going to Detroit, and then we're coming to Texas.
Now,
and that's the wrong way.
Well, it's absolutely the wrong way. I don't understand that. But
it's only $6 cheaper than going to Pittsburgh, which is like 100 miles from here, when Arnold Palmer Airport's like 30 miles from here. So it's much cheaper to get a ride there.
Oh, God, yeah, cheaper to get a ride.
So, but you've got all that all figured out, right?
Yep.
Well, very good.
What time will you guys be there?
Will you be there?
We're coming in, it's around 12 something your time.
All right, so we're coming on down. Come on down to Houston.
It's time.
I'm ready. I'm ready. It's going to
be my house great. About 4:30 in the morning, though.
Now what?
I'll be leaving my house about 4:30 in the morning.
On the morning of that morning, Friday morning?
Yeah.
Well, you can sleep on the plane.
I plan to.
put your Bookport earphones in your head and go to sleep.
Actually, that's what I did last time. I slept both ways.
Yeah. You're comfortable enough on a plane, you can do that?
Yeah, more or less, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am, once they take off and that vacuum kicks in, boy, I can just sleep mine. Patterson's back. Say hi to Don Patterson.
Hey, Mr. Don.
Hey there, Dave. How is it?
Good.
I want you to shave before you get on the airplane because they won't let you bring a razor, so we don't want you...
No razors on the plane.
We'll try to have several freebies at the hotel.
I was shaving before the show, and that's when Don called me to try a different number. I said, I ain't never going to get done with it.
That's right.
But this is one show you don't have to look nice for. We don't give a damn how you look. We have me in Houston here, so,
that's right.
Who'd really care? So you had a new central air unit. But by the way, before I do that, let me say, if you want to call our phone number, if you'd like to give us a call and ask David a question or any of us, is 936-634-9500. That's 936-634-9500.
And be the seventh caller and get an Eddie Arnold.
That's right.
Only ask questions on the approved list.
Yeah,
that way we know the answers to it.
I won't.
Know the answers.
I haven't seen the list.
If it's approved.
I think it's just really rotten of you people not to show me the list. But anyway, tell us about your experience with central air units, sir.
Well, definitely, I'd say right off, it is not a handyman project. I don't think any do-it-yourselfer should tackle this. But it was really interesting to watch.
I bet it was.
What they did is they took the plenum off my furnace on top, and they redesigned it, put the coil up there on the cold air return. But to look at my furnace now, it looks exactly like it came out of the factory that way, because that they've designed and built a sheet metal box that actually matches the color of my furnace. So it looks like it came that way.
Now, they took the plenum off. Now, you didn't have central air.
No, I have forced air heat, but I didn't have central air. No.
You had forced air heat, but you needed a coil.
Yeah, exactly.
For it to feed the coolant through to blow across, so you'd have cool air.
Yeah.
Okay, so they put the coil where now?
It's on top of the furnace, and on the cold air return, where they put it.
Uh huh. And it's the same color, and it looks like it was made there.
It looks like, if you didn't know better, it just looked like that's the way the furnace came. The only cosmetic difference is the metal box on top goes the whole way across instead of just being on the one side. Most people probably will never even notice.
Yeah, if you hadn't seen it before, you wouldn't know.
You never know.
Sounds like they did a fine job on that part of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And so, and then they put the plenum back on. Did yep. they have to shorten the duct work any or not? The coil didn't very thick.
No, I think they did do some cutting in that. So they probably did shorten the duct work.
Yeah.
And then they found a floor drain under, sort of underneath, off to the side of my dishwasher. So they just ran a couple fittings of PVC pipe around the back of the water heater, and gravity's taking care of that, no problem.
And so that goes into the floor drain, and that's the drain that's gonna that they're gonna use to drain the pan that's under the coil that catches the water.
Yep.
What did they do for you in emergency, so you'll know if something stopped up?
Or did they do that?
In emergency, I have no idea.
Okay.
Well, see, if they drain that and you think it's draining, you can't see it. Most new construction now, they'll put a pipe, a half, 3/4 inch pipe or something. It's like an emergency drain in the pan. If the pan, if the main drain gets stopped up, pan will hold so much water and it'll go up to emergency drain. And usually they'll put it like over your garage door, someplace that you will encounter. And if you see water dripping out of this pipe, you need to take some kind of action.
You need to do something.
But is yours in a basement?
No, I live on a one floor.
I mean, is this up in the attic or outside? Or
no, it's on the main floor here.
Okay,
so maybe you don't have anything. They do that down here because a lot of our condensers are in the attic. And so we would have roof, you know, sheetrock damage. So
No, this is on the main floor where I live.
Because ours is in the hall on Norris Street, and we don't have a secondary pan.
Okay.
Okay, but if yours overflows, you're going to know it, because I'll tell you why you're going to know it, sir.
The water will be running down the hall.
You'll have water in that. You'll have water in that middle bedroom.
That's
I'll
right.
tell you that.
That's right.
Because I've been there before.
Yep. That's
I'm
exactly what would
it
happen.
Right now, and I see the coolant line, and there's the drain line, and there's another connection right beside the drain line that nothing's hooked to.
Okay, well, that's...
You could probably stick that outside or someplace where it's probably an emergency drain. I mean,
you know that's what it is.
It's threaded, yeah.
Yeah.
Has it got a plug in it of some kind? No?
Yeah.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the emergency drain. They just didn't hook it up.
Yeah, okay.
So
mention that.
You can either call them back and tell them to come and hook it up, or you can put something on it yourself, or if it's no more than what is it, how far above the actual floor is that pan? Is that
let's see, the drain is about 5'6" above the floor.
Okay, so you're going to know if that pan overflows. You're going to know it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, best thing to do is put some chlorine bleach of some kind in it every spring. Mm-hmm. Or, who was it the other day? It had it blown. It was you, Houston.
I know. I was sitting here thinking about my problem. And
yeah.
I know the water showed up in my hallway. Well, when the little overflow thing clogged up, it showed up, first of all, in my hallway. Then there's water later on showed up in my ductwork, believe it or not. So,
but your ducts are under the floor.
Yeah, my ducts are under the floor.
That's
it's a mobile home.
Yours are too, Dave?
Yep.
Okay, and come up.
Up in the bedrooms or wherever.
Okay.
So we pull the cover off of where the air comes from on the floor and look down in there, and there's water in my ductwork. So what happened? There was a hole in the pan, of course, and then there was rust around the coils where it was all rusted out and everything. And he said, hey, I can pull it out, clean it, put it back in with no guarantees whatsoever. It may just continue leaking. You know, anything could happen. Or I can replace it. So we replaced it. But
see, I do not understand that. Because my
A coil could rust, isn't it copper?
Yeah, that was my question.
The coil itself is copper, but around the coils where it was going in, I guess the condensation created the rust.
Okay.
But the coil itself is copper. But I looked right at it, and around the coil there was rust, definitely.
It was rusty.
Yes, sir.
I mean, when you're saying around, was that fittings? Those should have been brass, looks to me. I mean,
No, I'm talking about the
housing, the metal housing.
Yes, yeah, yes, okay. That's what I'm talking about, the metal housing. Yeah. And it's just kind of shaped like an A.
Right.
And then you've got your coils going, running all through it,
yeah,
curled around there.
Yeah.
And then through the metal housing that the coils were going through was rusted. Oh, it was terrible. And for 6 years old, it was really bad.
Yeah, that is.
See, that's what I don't understand, because mine is 15 years old, and it's still, I just had my coil taken out and cleaned and put back in.
Yes, but I don't know. There's something about mobile homes. I think they use inferior products in them.
You think that's what the deal was?
I think
just
probably
so. Inferior, a little inferior coil. And just
yeah, when we decided to buy a mobile home, we thought, well, you know, we're getting older, and this will be easy payment to make and all that kind of stuff. But we might have been better off out here trying to find a little house somewhere.
You know? To have built a house.
Yep. Built
time,
it or whatever.
At that time, you could have built a house pretty cheap. You can't anymore, but you could have then.
That's true.
You could have built a house the size of this building for $40,000. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably what you paid for the mobile home.
Probably by the time I get through, you're probably right.
Ah, that's probably so. But anyway, the coil ring, but that's all fixed now, right?
Yes.
That is all fixed, and there's beautiful, cool areas if you need it now.
Well, sure, but thank God you don't need it.
Huffing and puffing through your...
Well, my wife had it on a little while today, and I said, what in the world are you doing with the air on? Why aren't the windows raised?
Yeah.
Because I had been out.
Pay that electric company.
Yeah, that's what Lorraine got up in the middle of the night and turned the air conditioner on. I woke up at 3 this morning, the air conditioner was on.
Mm.
She got, I said, when you open the door, well, I never thought of that.
Can't live with them, can't live without them.
So, Dave, what did y'all use for cooling before Central?
Just a whole host of pedestal fans and those type of things.
I mean, no window unit, no air conditioner of any kind.
Well, yeah, we had one of these ones in the bedroom that's on wheels, and you could just put the plate in the window, put the hose out
okay.
the plate, and that worked pretty good in the bedroom.
A one-room
job. Is that what they call, like, ductless air conditioning? I mean, is it a newer version of a window unit?
Yes.
Yeah,
it is.
It does. The actual thing doesn't go in the window. All that goes in the window is a plate.
Right.
You connect this hose to this plate, and it just vents out the window.
Okay, because I'm thinking
it's a better
about
idea.
Maybe making a little room addition, I mean, on one of the garages, and I want some cool, and I've been trying to figure out how to do that.
Would be the thing to have, right there.
Are they quiet? No, because it's in the room with you. It's kind of noisy, right?
Yeah, but it's never kept me awake.
Well, no, I can.
Well, hey, we met you before. We don't figure it. An earthquake probably wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, I'd run the air conditioner and a fan blowing on me, and of course Patty's got extra blankets and her head covered, but I liked it.
So you're one of those that likes it like Levan does.
Yeah, I mean it was 48 degrees here this morning when we woke up. I had the windows open. I did turn the fan off when I got out of bed.
Yeah, which was about the same temp it was. Here's 51 here. Yeah. 52 degrees.
Except that was a high up there. Yeah. Probably.
Up there, that's probably high. So do most people in Pennsylvania have central air or not?
I wouldn't say most. There's some that do have it, but I wouldn't say most, no.
But you thought you'd do this at a cost of, let me guess, $24.95.
No, I got two bids, and they were like $400 separate.
Yeah, because you had to have a compressor.
Oh, yeah, they put a Lennox two-ton unit in my backyard, and it was kind of neat how they ran the
copper?
Yeah, because it comes in like a coil, and they just ran it and cut it to fit.
Yeah, and put a fitting on the end and went.
Yeah, they brazed it on there. They had their torches going. And
yeah.
But that was kind of neat. I never saw, you know, pipe or tubing, whatever like that, come in a coil.
But they found a place to run it. I mean, it was pretty easy.
They ran it straight up into the attic across the ridge.
Yeah.
And then down along a rafter and right out over the soffit above my bedroom.
And they insulated one side is insulated.
Yeah.
The supply side is insulated.
Yeah, it's got black foam on it.
Yeah.
I'm not a copper expert, but I encountered that when the first time ever that I installed some plumbing in a slab, and they call that soft copper. And that's what you put in a concrete slab. You don't use rigid copper pipe.
Yeah.
You use that roll. and you can you just kind of go kind of where you close to where you want your water supply,
and then
and
cut
you
it.
Cut it off, and then you can braze your regular fittings, and then you can go with rigid. I converted over to PVC after I got outside of my slab, but you could go to rigid copper or whatever, and it's considerably cheaper than rigid copper.
This rolled copper?
Yeah.
Apparently there's at least three different kinds of copper, but the most common, I guess, are the rigid and the soft.
So can you use this flaring tool on this soft copper? Because I've got that. I like to sell it on eBay.
I don't think they use ferros and flares. I think they braze it on with brass, you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they told me the reason they braze the solder is because of the higher pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that Freon or whatever they call it. I wish I could quit calling it Freon. I'd like to know what it is.
It's still Freon, he said, but it's a different type.
Yeah,
they called it 410 or something.
Ecologically safe, so they say.
Yeah, and you can't just drain that old stuff into the atmosphere anytime you want to. You're supposed to tell them you're doing that.
Fortunately, with this hookup, I mean, my electric panel is like right in the kitchen there, and it's next to an outside wall, and they just ran the 220 line right along my entrance cable and through my sun porch right outside to the compressor.
And you can't see it. I mean, it's not really that visible.
No, my house is shaped like an L, and it's kind of like behind my bedroom, tucked in the little armpit, if you will, between where the sun porch comes out of the back of the house. So no, you're not going to see it out there unless you're looking for it.
What made you decide to do this?
Well, it just finally got a little too tiresome that, we get 80s, 85, 90 degree days. Like, we don't get as hot as you. Okay, I'll grant you that. But we get, 85, 90 degree days. And with that, 95% humidity, I don't care what the temp is.
It's rough.
Miserable.
Yep.
By the way, Dave, how far are you from Pittsburgh?
60 miles.
The Astros are playing there tonight. I want you to put all of your jinxes on the Pirates that you can.
I don't think it's necessary.
Well, against the Astros, trust me, we'll take all the help we can.
We need everything we can get. But listen, you wanted to tell us about some lists that you've started. So won't you do that right quick before we go?
October 11th last year, I started my own JAWS list called JAWS-users.com is the website, and I wanted to come up with a place where people could, of any skill level, could ask whatever they wanted about, computer stuff so far as it related to JAWS, and without fear that somebody was going to come back at them and say, that was a stupid question, and that type of thing. I didn't want that. I've been on lists where that had happened, and I just don't like them.
A lot of great information on that JAWS list, too, by the way.
We got 225 on there now.
Is that right?
JAWS on there.
Well, would your list include, like, if you were like a Microsoft Word user, how to do something in Microsoft Word?
Yeah.
Or is this, these are
pertaining
not just
to
technical.
JAWS,
if you're using it with JAWS.
Right. Okay, see, good. I've got a little student, a little college student I'm going to put on that list.
Oh, okay.
Great information on Microsoft Word with JAWS and all kind of screen reader.
What sort of traffic does it generate every day?
200.
I never really counted, but it's busy enough. It probably gets 50 emails a day at least.
Yeah, it's a good, decent volume.
50, that's pretty good, decent. That's pretty heavy.
It's not overly swarming, but it's busy enough.
Knowing you, I'm sure you hold it to topic.
Well, I got two other guys helping me, too.
two other moderators? Topic. Anybody I know? Oh, Steven is one of them, isn't he?
No, Bob Gilman's one.
Bob Gilman. I know Bob, yes. Bob is, I see Bob on Friday nights, right?
Yeah. He's one of them. Another fellow named Rick Justice, which I don't know if you know him or not. So the three of us, we keep an eye on it.
Yeah. And keep it on topic.
We do our best, yeah.
And it's, what is it, how do you get there? Where is it?
Oh, okay. The website that I built for this whole thing and you know the address is www.jaws-users.com, and it's the list is jaws-users-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
jaws-users-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Yeah.
So you're still at Yahoo with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Google wasn't up when I set this thing up last year.
Or you would have said it as a Google group.
I, huh? I might have. I don't know.
All right, just curious. Jaws-users. Why couldn't you get jawsusers.com?
I could have. It just didn't pronounce right. It's
Jaws okay. doesn't pronounce it. Good.
Just, oh, okay. Do Jaws doesn't pronounce it.
That's right.
They,
Jaws
yeah,
doesn't
it just, pronounce it. It would say Jawsusers.
Okay, great yeah. thinking. No, see, that's a question from a kind of a non-Jaws user, and I'm glad you...
I'm surprised that was available for
yeah.
you in the first place.
Yeah, it was available.
You think someone would have heard
that it was available.
It was a bunch. It was .com, .net. I could have had my pick.
Like, can you believe some fool has already got philparr.com? The nerve.
You got .net.
I got philparr.net, but some fool in Florida is philparr.com. I couldn't believe it.
What a deal.
What a deal. It should be,
hell of a thing.
Should be sued. All right. If you want to subscribe, it's jaws-users-subscribe.com.
No, at Yahoo.
At yahoogroups.com.
Yeah.
Well, very good, and we wish you lots of luck with that, and hope you're nice and cool this summer.
Yep. Did Don tell you about how I archived the both lists on a free service?
No, go ahead right quick, if you got time.
Yeah. But,
go ahead.
Well, I found a free archival service, so I subscribe. I put the Handyman list and the Jaws list on it, so anybody can go read the archives now. You don't need the Yahoo ID or any kind of password. And all the information to hit the archives is at the bottom of every email on both lists.
You mean every message that's ever been posted on those
no,
lists?
No, no, no. Ever since 2-3 months ago when I did it.
Every message since
every
then.
Every message
is archived.
Since then is archived on that list.
Yeah.
And very screen reader friendly.
Yeah.
Really, it's easy to go and read messages.
Boy,
right
would
off
have
of
to be,
the archive.
There would have to be a massive amount of messages.
Oh, there was like 4,000 lists archived there, and I don't know how many million messages it said.
How much room do you have?
I have no idea.
Don't know.
So you just every day it sends them or you send them. How do you?
Well,
get them?
What happens is all I had to do was just add a certain email address as another list member. So actually, one member on a Handyman list, one member.
I got you.
Is just. The archive, so when a message gets posted to the the Handyman list or whatever.
It gets posted to this archive.
Over there on the archive.
And how do you get to this archive section again?
It's at the bottom of any message on the Handyman list or Jaws list. You just hit enter on the link and take you right there.
Take you right to the archive.
Very easy, very right. good reading over there.
All those wonderful things that Dale Levins has posted are all archived over there.
Yeah, and Ray Boyce's messages.
Ray Boyce's messages.
Everybody's.
It took a little digging, a little work, but...
Well, that's good, Dave. We need people like you to help us. Help us get
we
through
do.
Life.
We really do.
We do. And we want to wish you lots of cool... we'll call you in the summertime and see how it is in your house, how that's working.
Yeah.
And also, we'll check that electric bill, which will be much higher, sir.
That's
yeah,
right.
They'll probably have the coldest summer. It never reached above 60 degrees
right.
in Pennsylvania.
Really cool here next summer.
July.
Listen, my man, we appreciate everything you do for us, and we'll see you in Houston, Texas. How about that?
Okay, I look forward to it.
Good deal. David Farron, our guest this afternoon. And I don't know what we're going to talk about when we come back. Surely we can think of something.
Something.
Some exciting topic. We're the Blind Handyman, Don Shaw, Don Patterson, Tom Houston. I'm Phil Parr, and we'll be right back. A lot of folks from in Northeast Pennsylvania.
Good morning again. I'm Bob Bartlett.
That was November 2004. Hi, this is Phil Parr, and this November 2006,
we're going to do it again.
We're going to gather at the Sheridan Northeast in Houston, Texas, and have a big party.
party.
Opening ceremony Saturday morning. Cooking in the Dark with Dale Campbell and Cheryl coming Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, lots of dancing and great live music. We'll record a live blind handyman show Sunday morning. A live blind like me show Sunday afternoon. And Sunday night, more dancing and great live music. If all this sounds like fun to you, why don't you email me and I'll send you the details. My email address is phil@philpar.net. That's P-H-I-L at P-H-I-L-P-A-R-R.net. We'll see you this November in Houston. Phone rang, and before we ever heard the number, everybody said, guess who?
Mr. Campbell.
What are you doing?
I don't think he's latched.
Are you there?
I don't think he's latched.
Yes, he is.
Uh-huh.
Did I hang up on him?
I think you did, yes, sir.
No, I didn't. I wouldn't do that.
Surely.
Dale.
Call us back, Dale, if you're listening.
And if you're not...
I think it was...
There he is, Dale. I'll be damned, did I not latch him? I sure didn't. I didn't mean to hang up on you, Dale. I really didn't. Go ahead, Don. What were you going to elaborate on?
We've talked about, you know, the talking tools and everything, and I'll tell you what, in my handyman kit, I've always talked about...
About what?
Dale Campbell calling about my saw guy.
Hey, I'm back.
All right.
And so I've lost some screws and bolts off of the original saw guy that I had. So I went to Sears the other day, or actually Emily went. Uh-huh. They didn't even know they had it, and they looked up. She told them what she wanted, and she gave them the code number, and they found it. And it's called the AccuRip Saw Guide. When I bought my first one, it was $19.95. They are now $39.95. But yep. I have a brand new one, and that is the most useful tool that a blind guy could have in his arsenal. I can cut. You want an 11.5-inch board? You want an 11.75-inch piece off of plywood 8 feet long? I can turn them out like cookie cutters. Just one right after the other. And it's a neat safe.
It's called a what now?
AccuRip. It is the AccuRip circular saw guide.
And because of our advertising, it has gone up to it's doubled.
Well, I'm certain of it.
Price has doubled.
And what I'm really concerned, I wish I could buy parts, but they're assembled in China. I mean, it's a Craftsman product, and surely if you could get to the right person,
they could probably get you.
But I guess they figure it's just as cheap to buy the whole new unit. But anyway, can't say enough about it. You can make cuts, you know, up. You can do everything except rip a 4x8 sheet of wood, the 4 foot across. In other words, you couldn't make 2 4-foot pieces out of it because it won't go that far.
Won't go quite that far. All right, Dale.
Hi, Dale.
Hey.
Wait, I didn't mean to hang up on you.
Oh, I imagine it was Pat.
You think it was?
I did. I punched. You knew.
I tell y'all, man, it will be over 95 degrees in November.
Why is that? Why is that?
Because it's going to be a hot time in the old city that first weekend at the Sheraton.
It certainly is, son.
Well, we're going to have a Blind Rifle Association meeting Friday night, Cooking in the Dark Saturday, and then Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me on Sunday.
How long did you stay after we left Sunday morning?
We migrated right after you left.
You left right after we did.
Yeah, I started feeling the same ailment that was hitting you.
Well, boy, it was hitting me hard.
It was
painful. Just lay our little heads down on our desk.
Sounds like a Jack Daniels attack to me.
But you folks went to the bar after we went to bed Saturday night.
Yes, we did. We tried to continue, but then we had last call as soon as we hit the bar too. So
yeah,
we didn't get to stay much longer.
They were ready for us to go. I think
they had. I believe they were.
They
it was a good time.
They had enough of blind people. So y'all are coming Friday. So you're going to be there Friday night.
Yeah, and I'll be up Friday afternoon sometime. Be in there Friday night, and then I'll be up. I don't know, probably in the room sometime during the mid morning to afternoon Sunday to start getting some stuff going, and Saturday.
Saturday to get you all set up and ready to. Have you decided what you're going to cook?
Yes, I have.
All right, tell us.
We're going to do a crock pot chocolate cherry dessert, and we're going to premiere that, in fact, next week on this show. And then we're also going to do a spinach and shrimp feta lemon type doodad, and I haven't figured out what else we're going to go from there.
Just go from there, huh?
But, of course, we're going to have to do some of those shrimp brochette popper things again.
Boy, I hope so, because they were great.
Yeah, they were awesome. And I think I might hit y'all up with this new recipe I just kind of invented. It's mushroom bombs. We debuted it down there at Corpus at the ACB of Texas convention, and I think, man, it's definitely something that everybody, you know, we need.
Mushroom bombs. I think we used to use those when we were kids for different things.
Now, these will be store-bought ones.
All right. BlindKnifeMart.com. We got to go.
Hey, fellas. We'll see you next week.
Talk to you.
Bye.
All right. See you, Dale.
Dale Campbell, he's figured out a way to get on every show, hasn't he?
He still doesn't get the Eddie Arnold.
He doesn't get the Eddie Arnold. Anyway,
gotta be the seventh caller.
Next week, we're going to do Cooking in the Dark. He'll be the whole show. So next week, we'll just do Cooking in the Dark. What the heck? All right, another one down. This was 172. 172 of these suckers we've done. Absolutely amazing.
Useful bit of information
not
in our
own. We have been accused of dispensing some useful information once or twice, but it's hasn't been too often. Thank you, Don Pat.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Coming in Houston?
Yes,
always,
sir.
Yep. Mr. Don Shaw for producing and helping to make the show into an MP3 so it can be emailed and sent away to different places. And we want to say hi to the folks in Fort Worth, Texas. I'm going to try to do you, Steve, some promos first of next week, and maybe get Don Shaw to email them to you.
Getting all that nice new equipment.
And getting
up there,
all that
North
nice
Texas
new equipment.
Reading radio.
What
a deal,
man. What's Steve doing?
Steve is the manager of the North Texas Radio Reading Service.
Yay,
and they're getting,
Steve.
They're getting three nice new studios. They don't need them. They really need an engineer like me. But I could set all this stuff up for you, Steve. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. I'm Phil Parr. Thank you, guys. And we'll see you next week. As he said, the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.